Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we're going to be chatting with R.M. Alexander about her newest book, The Real You. Hi, Robin. Welcome back.
Hi, Sherry. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. Trying to beat a cold. So everybody, please excuse me if I start hitting a coughing fit here. Trying to keep them at bay.
Yeah, it seems to be the season for it. A lot of people I know are sick. I'm sorry.
No, thank you.
For those people new to your stuff, why don't you tell a little bit about your stuff and your background?
Sure. I've been publishing books now for the last little over 2 years, which is so hard to believe. I write romantic suspense and paranormal thrillers, and they are all clean, so there's romance in them, but we don't show any pink parts or anything like that. I have 6 books out there right now, working on getting number 7 published within hopefully the next month.
And you said that you've been publishing for 2 years. One of the things that I think would be interesting for a lot of listeners, how did you start writing, and what was your inspiration?
Well, actually, I've been writing, almost as long as I can remember. I started writing when I was 10 years old. And, you know, when you're younger than that, it was a hobby for me. And I put it down for a few months, pick it back up, put it down for a year, pick it back up. But, you know, the short of it is I always went back to it and always felt it was something that was who I am and was something I needed to do. And 7 years ago, when my oldest was born, a story hit me, which is now published, Veil of Secrecy. And for some reason, it was just the right story at the right time in my life, and I decided to pursue actually publishing a book. The story, you know, was born in a dream, which I think happens to a lot of writers.
Yeah.
But the characters, yeah, and the characters just wouldn't leave me alone. I dreamt about them every single night for months on end, and like I said, it just seemed like it was the right time, the right story, and the right characters, and I originally chased after, you know, publishing traditionally. I queried a long list of agencies and agents and went through the gamut. Had a few, you know, that took, you know, a bite and wanted to see the full manuscript. And, you know, at the time it hurt, I got a lot of rejections. But looking back now and what happened with Veil, you know, from the time I started self-publishing to the time I actually put that one on the market, when I was traditionally, you know, going after traditional publishing and querying, it wasn't ready. And I realized that, you know, about a year and a half later when I actually went back, re-edited, re-revised, and published. But in between that time, a good author friend of mine, she was self-publishing, and she said, hey, you know, come on and let's go this route with you. And we are partners in writing crimes. We feed off of each other, and we help one another out all the time. Anybody that's on Facebook sees TJ and I batting back and forth with stuff. But I went ahead and I published Matter of Choice. And while Veil of Secrecy was written first, Matter of Choice was my first published book. And it went on market in January of 2014, and I haven't gone after the traditional route at all since. I think about it occasionally, I won't lie, but the self-publishing, you know, it's a very interesting, fun, rewarding, scary beast.
Yeah, that's a good description.
Yeah. But that's kind of where I am today, you know, now, like I said, 6 books, almost 7 books later. And, you know, I really enjoy it. I work every night. I very rarely take a night off. I don't think people realize, you know, if you're not an author, I don't think you realize how much time it takes to get a book to market. And it's literally, I probably put in a good, at least 40 hours a week for 6 months, you know, of back and forth and writing and rewriting and editing and re-editing and revising. And, you know, it's a lot of man hours to get one book out on the market. And especially when you have a family and you're doing it, you know, trying to do it in between all the family duties. it's a good process.
Yeah, but then on top of it, you have to promote too. So sometimes you have to do both.
Oh my goodness. But you know, the more I've learned a lot, you know, too, in the last 2.5 years, and more traditional even traditional publishing houses are looking for their authors to do their own marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yeah, being an author, you have to wear all the hats. It doesn't stop once the book is published. You have to change your hat then real fast and go into your marketing hat and your bookkeeping hat and it's like running a small business.
It is weird, isn't it?
It is, because you don't think of that, you know?
Mm-hmm. But it's a whole enterprise, and people think, oh, you just knock a couple books out. No, it's a lot more than that. And I think, as you said, it's very back and forth, back and forth. There's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. There is.
Do you have any advice for the young writer?
I've learned so much over the years. One of the best things that I can tell anybody who wants to get started is that you need to network. You need to find somebody who is taking the journey at the same stage that you are in, so that you can take it together and you can use each other for cheerleading and support and for somebody who's going to talk you off the edge when you're ready to quit, because you will be ready to quit.
Many times.
Yes. Many times over, there's still nights I'm like, that's it, I give up. But you also need to find somebody who is way ahead of you in the game, somebody that can teach you the ropes and show you what they've done wrong, because we all make mistakes. And if you can avoid some of those pitfalls that somebody else has made, you're just one step closer to reaching your goals. And then once you get started and you're a little bit along your journey, you want to reach back and you want to find somebody who is starting their journey, so that, because it's all part of it. If we all help each other instead of compete against one another, you know, everybody succeeds. And there's plenty of readers to go around, so.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's one of the things that's a little different from other communities that I've belonged to, is that mostly, there are exceptions, but mostly writers are very, very supportive of each other, very helpful to each other, always willing to help, you know, review, listen, whatever. I mean, sometimes you have to be patient with people who are doing it, because, you know, we are writing and we are doing other stuff, but
right.
You know, we will get to it, and we will help you, and we will review. That's one of the good things, is that we're supportive of each other.
Yes, it is. It's very rewarding, and it's heartbreaking when you find, you know, the few that are in the crowds that take the old business mentality, because in business, a lot of businesses, they compete against each other, and they keep that mentality, and they, you know, all their secrets stay close to the vest, and they don't want to share anybody what they're doing and how they're succeeding. That's the business world. You get some authors that are like that. And, you know, it's very sad to see, because it doesn't have to be that way. But, you know, at the same time, that's also the society that we've grown up in, is business is business, and you don't share your secrets, your trade secrets. But, you know, it's overall a great community. It's a wonderful community to be a part of, because there's so many wonderful authors out there that really want to help out, and they become your friends.
Yeah, and most authors are really open to that. And like you said, there are some that are, like, on the dark side, let's say. The dark lords out there.
There are.
And some of the dark lords have white fleece on them, so you don't really recognize them right away, but you see their true colors after a few, after a bit.
Yep, you do.
Yeah, kind of sad, because sometimes that stuff, and that kind of thing comes out at you and you don't really expect it, because
right.
the 90% of people are wonderful. So when that
right.
comes, you just, it's like a stab.
Right.
Have you had experience with people like that?
Thankfully, I have, here and there, and mostly in the forms of, little snarky comments or a funky review or something like that. I've been very fortunate because I've been pretty much able to stay part of the very close-knit group, because we are, the community overall is, it's not as large as people might think it is. It's a very small community of writers, and they're a very close-knit family. But, I've been fortunate, not to say that if my luck's going to hold out, and, I've had, some run-ins with some authors who maybe are a little bit, I'll go with snarky. I'll stick there.
Snarky is a good word. I like snarky. Snarky is very descriptive. It goes deeper sometimes, but snarky's good.
Right. We'll just stay right there. We'll be nice.
We're at the halfway point, so I want to give you a chance to explain about your new book, The Real You, and tell what it's about. And how did you come up with the concept?
Let's see. The Real You was inspired actually by some music, which is another, it ranks high on my inspiration bucket. And it is a story about a woman who is a recent divorcee. She went through her first marriage was a tad on the abusive side, although I don't really get into that too much because the book starts after her divorce. So, but she meets a man who is part of Hollywood, and there's instant chemistry, and he invites her to come to Hollywood so that they can decide, if they're two worlds. She's an everyday, lives in Detroit, everyday person, and they decide to see if they can make their two worlds become one. But on the way to L.A., she has an unfortunate event happen that changes her life forever, and they have, now do they have to decide if they can make their two worlds one, but they also have to stay free and figure out where the danger is coming from, because there are some very real threats to their lives that are hanging out there.
She's going to be promoting it probably for the next few weeks. She's got a couple of other promotions coming up. Here she's back.
Dad?
Robin, hello.
Hello.
Welcome back. I didn't know where you went, so I was saying that you had some other promotions coming up, but I didn't think you'd leave this quickly. No.
Sorry about that. Oh, so thank you for Blog Talk Radio and left me.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes, this is done by phone line, so these things do happen.
No big deal.
No. You were in the middle of an explanation of your book.
And I'm not sure how much anybody heard. So anyway, we'll leave
You were saying that they were trying to make two worlds come as one, and then I couldn't hear you anymore.
Okay. Well, they do have a very real threat. They are trying to survive, and I'm gonna leave it at that because I'm hoping that the rest of the
Well, then it kind of cut you off at the right time, huh?
It might have. We built up the suspense.
Yes. So I was telling the audience that you had some other promotions that you were coming out. Do you want to talk about the other things you're going to be this book? And I don't know of any other books, but I know you said you had other promotions that were coming up.
Well, right now, The Real You just hit audio, so it is available on Audible. And the narrator and the producer have done a wonderful job with bringing the characters to life. So that is available now. And Veil of Secrecy, which is my paranormal thriller, that's 99 cents until the end of the week. And also The Determined You, which is book two, following The Real You, is going to be released hopefully within the next month. So people can keep up to date with that on Facebook or on my website and newsletter and find out when that release date is ready to hit.
And are you doing any other radio shows? Are you doing any in-person promotions?
I will be at a big author event in Kentucky this September. And I will have more information on that as far as what tickets are and all that coming up here, I believe, shortly. I'm waiting, you know, the people who are putting the program together, putting the event together, are still ironing out the final details. I do have a clean romance event on Facebook that will be starting on the 10th of April. And myself, along with several other clean romance authors, will be visiting with readers and telling them about our books, playing games, probably doing a couple giveaways if anybody's interested, and just having a whole lot of fun. And that's a week-long event starting April 10th.
Cool. And are you going to be doing any other, like, are you doing book signings at any stores or anything?
Right now I do have a couple other things possibly on the frying pan for the fall. I don't have anything sooner right now, but keeping my eyes open and seeing what kind of falls in my lap.
That's another thing that we can talk about. One of the things that's difficult is to find places to sell your book. It's
mm-hmm.
not difficult to sell your book when you know, online and stuff, but the first of all, bookstores are disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
Specialty bookstores have taken a big hit because of what's going on.
Right.
Can you talk about keeping your ear open for places? Sometimes it's unlikely places where you can promote your book. Like I've gone to conventions, but I've also found that there are some local book fairs and there's other local things that you wouldn't even think about, that there was a book awards here that I actually bought a table and sold my book at. You just have to keep your ear open. Can you explain
right.
how you've been doing that too?
Actually, right now I'm working on, along with a couple of the wonderful ladies who helped me with my journey, we are working on making phone calls to some different local bookstores, and I'm talking not about Barnes & Noble or but those smaller mom and pop, sometimes even used bookstores, are open to taking in local artists or local authors and displaying their books, as well as sometimes letting them come in and doing either signings or readings or, you know, just a little meet and greet type of thing. But you really do have to do your legwork on them because they don't advertise it. You do have to make the phone calls and see if they'll be open to taking you. Barnes & Noble will actually, they will allow local authors to do signings, but you have to arrange it. And it's, I haven't tried it yet, to be honest with you. But I know you have to talk to the store manager and see if they'll be open to bringing you in.
That's interesting. That's it, because I know how hard I went through 12 Barnes & Nobles before I found one that would do mine.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard because it's really up to the they say, well, it's against policy, but really it's just up to the store manager. And if the store manager is open to it, you just have to find the right one.
Right. Yeah. And that's one of the downsides of being self-published as opposed to going through an agency. You know, both have good and bad points, but with self-publishing, we have to get past the sometimes the stigma of that, you know, we're self-published, so we may not be as good as the next job in line. And that's not necessarily the truth, but that's sometimes a stigma that's out there. So you have to get past it.
I think we have a caller. Hold on just a second. Hello, caller. May I have your name and where you're calling from?
Yes, my name's Tone. I'm originally from Seattle, but I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Great. Do you have a question for our author?
Yeah, Sherry, are you single?
That I didn't expect.
No, I don't. Well, I do, but you wouldn't want to hear me.
No,
no,
she
said,
asked
are
me
you
if
single?
I was single. you mean
single?
Robin?
You know what? Honestly, both you ladies have beautiful voices. Which one of you are single?
I'll leave that one to you, Sherry. I'm happily married.
Yes, I'm single, but not appropriate right now. Do you have an actual question for the author?
Yeah, I have a question. I was going to ask you when we're going to go out. Hold on. I just don't hang up on me. I'm being serious. What, don't you think that's romantic?
Yeah, it's very, very nice. Thank you. I'm very embarrassed. Okay. Thank you.
How come?
Yeah.
Well, you're welcome. I just wanted to know. I just thought you would
thank
be
you.
Hot. What's your measurements?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for calling. Bye-bye. Okay, now I'm beet red. oh, my God. I never had that happen before.
That was unique.
Yeah, definitely. Especially live on the air.
And
okay.
Anything can happen when you're live.
That's true. That was odd. Anyway, let's go back to the show. Why don't you tell about your any future books you have coming up while I recover?
Well, The Determined You will be releasing, like I said, within the next, I'm hoping within the month. I have to get with my editor and see if we can, you know, block it out on her calendar and that she can get it back to me in time to make any corrections and hit that publishing button. Shortly after that, I will be having a short story available free for anybody who signs up on my newsletter. And then hopefully by August, I will have the third and final book in the Only You series are ready for publishing. But right now, don't hold me to that because I am a little bit behind on what I wanted to do. So, but that's my future plans for this year.
Cool. And we only have a little time left. I've been asking this, and I think I asked you before, but I'm going to ask you again. What is your great passion in life?
I have a few. My family is my top passion priority. My kiddos and my husband. I am a huge Disney freak. I am a Christian, so God is, number one in my life. And let me see, what else? I am a Ghirardelli addict, especially dark chocolate caramel.
Have you been to the factory?
No, I haven't been to the factory.
Oh,
no, I haven't.
Oh, my God. You've got to make a pilgrimage if you're a big fan.
I'm going to have to. The closest I got was the Ghirardelli store at Disney World, and just walking in there was very dangerous. They had free samples every day, and it's not good. It's very good, but it's not good for an addict.
I know. I love chocolate, but when I went to San Francisco, we went to the Ghirardelli factory, and they, you bought, whatever you want, and they gave you stuff. And one of my friends who I went with, who I was traveling with at the time, I didn't realize what a chocolate addict. We got the biggest thing of chocolate from Ghirardelli. It was huge.
Uh-huh.
She ate the whole thing within I don't know how fast. We literally had sit down in Golden Gate Park, which is across the way from Ghirardelli Factory. And I'm just looking at the boats and stuff and nibbling at the corner of my chocolate. She finished it by the time I turned my head. Are you like that? Are you that fast?
I am, but I have to restrain myself and be good. But I can if I... It wouldn't take me any time at all to finish up a bag if I allowed myself. And if you go to one of the stores, they have not only like the bags of chocolate you can buy at the grocery store, but they make the sundaes with the Ghirardelli chocolate syrup. And oh my word, it's just very dangerous.
Yeah. I got some of those too. But I like I said, I like chocolate. I love chocolate, but I'm. I just never saw anybody eat it that quickly. My God. Literally, turn my head away, turn back, and her bar is almost gone. And it was one of the big ones.
Yeah, that would be me.
Too funny. Anyway, well, we're at the end. Thank you so much, Robin. It was a joy, as always. Sorry we lost you for a few minutes.
Oh, sorry about that, but thank you very much for having me, Sherry. I enjoy talking with you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I enjoy talking to you, too. Thank you for chatting with Sherry.